Amen. How many of you had a good afternoon this afternoon? Man, so glad for that. We had a great service this morning. We had several first-time visitors with us this morning, so thankful for that, and praise the Lord for that. This Saturday, don't forget, this Saturday is the last Saturday of the month, so we have our visitation time this Saturday. I encourage you to come out. We meet here at the church at 9 o'clock, and we'll pick up some maps and get around and give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you have some time, made plans to come out and give folks an invitation to Harvest Baptist Church, and especially give them the gospel and help them to see a place that loves them and a family that they can come to and hear the gospel. So we're thankful for that. Aren't you thankful for the rain? It blew sideways at our house last night, and if you've ever been to our house, mostly a lot of you have been to our house, we have that long kind of an entryway there, and it was blowing so hard, so straight, when you opened the door, it was blowing all the way in, and we were getting hit at our doorway. I mean, it was coming in sideways, and but we were having fun time with it anyway, and just getting our rain. We get it so few times that people just look at us weird. There's two people just standing in the doorway getting wet, and but it was fun time, so we're glad for the rain. Thankful for that as well. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to begin tonight in 2 Peter, chapter number 1, 2 Peter, chapter number 1. And if you're able to stand in honor of God's Word, 2 Peter, chapter 1, 2 Peter, chapter 1, begin reading verse number 1. And tonight, Lord willing, we're going to focus on those first few verses of our text. 2 Peter, chapter 1, begin reading there in verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to meet again in your house tonight. I'm so grateful for the faithfulness of your people to come and be together as our church family again and meet together. We do pray for those of our family that are sick tonight. We have many that are struggling and with some health, and we pray, Lord, that you put your hand of healing upon them and give them the grace and mercy that they need. And Lord, we just pray that you will be able to see them again together with us. And we do pray for our missionaries as well. Continue to comfort them and bless them, protect them, keep them safe as they minister. Lord, we pray that you help us to learn from your word tonight, make some application to our own heart and life. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing in honor of God's word. You know, we're getting closer and closer to the giving season. I like Christmas. And all right, me and me, Soster, man, we're together. We like Christmas. We're all excited about that. I know school has just started, and my wife and I, it's kind of a game to us now. Once it hits about this season, we like to see about what time Walmart starts putting in the Christmas stuff. Pretty soon, they'll have their Christmas section back there. And it's almost like in our world today, we just kind of skip right over Thanksgiving, right? It's kind of like that's like an aisle in Walmart for about 3 weeks. You can kind of get the stuff, and then that's it. We're focused on Christmas. And we're kind of getting toward that time now. We were at the mall the other day, and we were walking through there and going up to the Hallmark store. And the Hallmark store is already, they've already transitioned over. They got the ornaments out. They got everything out there already. And it was just amazing to me how fast it was. And my sons, they have a whole Star Wars wreath for the front door with a Death Star on it. And it actually plays and does all this stuff. And they were just in there just hitting the button and just playing all the time. And Ms. Oster made them understand that it's not coming to our house. But it's already there. We were in there playing with Christmas ornaments Saturday. I thought to myself, my goodness, we're starting this early. But we like to receive gifts, and we like the giving season. But in reality, as a Christian, giving season should be all the time. I know some stores would have you believe that Christmas is just a few days away, and we'll save it all the way to December. But pretty soon, the madness will soon commence. And as Christians, our lives should be giving no matter what the season, for sure. This Saturday, we'll have an opportunity to show the Lord and express our love for our cities and those around us by giving them the gospel, by going and sacrificing our time and giving of that time to give out the gospel, to give out that tract, to invite an individual to church, to put that tract on the door. We have an opportunity to be giving. And of course, with all the receiving that God expects us, that He gives to us, He expects that reciprocation. And this evening, what we're going to see, and Lord willing, maybe even the next week, all that God has given to us and promises to give to us as a child of God, it never ends. There's not a specific time where God says, I'm going to give you here, and then the rest of the time, you're on your own. No, God continues to give to us, and He continues to provide for us. But on the other hand, God also, we can see from our text, if I'm going to give to you and give these things to you and promise these things to you, there's also an expectation of that. I buy trash bags because I expect, and I give them to my son, and I expect him to take out the trash. That was a joke, y'all. Some of you are looking at me like, man, what? You give your kids trash bags? I do. I hand them trash bags, and I said, you know what to do with these. There's an expectation. I'm kidding, of course. But God says, I'm going to give to you certain things, and I want you to understand here today that as we read through our text, we know in verse number one that God is really only promising these to a specific group of people. And being on a Sunday night, we do have visitors on a Sunday night. I'm thankful for that. And certainly, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, we would certainly expect and encourage you to come and make sure your salvation tonight. But I wanted to really preach to Christians tonight. This text is really given to God's people. These are encouragement verses to God's people. These are things that give us a blessing, that give us a smile on our face, give us some exhortation to live a certain way and to live in a godly way. He gives that to us, and Peter clarifies that in verse number one. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, so a child of God, a man of God, I want to give these to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. And so Peter is going to give these promises and give this word of God to a specific group of people. I know you'll hear this lots of times in our world. Well, we're just all God's people. We're just all God's children. I hate to break it to you, but according to God's word, we are not. Only those who know Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior, are God's people. Are all men created by God? Yes, they certainly are, but not all men are God's. Not all people are God's children. We are not. Only those who know Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior. And Peter wanted to make that sure tonight that these blessings, these promises, these encouragements, these exhortations are given to God's people. Are they excluded from everyone? In a sense, yes. But are they offered to everyone? Yes, if you'll trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior, as Pastor clearly stated this morning and rightly said this morning, if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior, you can claim all the promises of the Word of God, all of them. And so he gives it to us tonight. And Peter clarifies this to those who obtain, there's a phrase there in verse number one, like precious faith, only obtainable through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that salvation is valued equally amongst all of those who know Jesus Christ. My friends, there's only one way to obtain this precious faith, and that is through Jesus Christ. We cannot of ourselves obtain it of our own. In our world today, we have an idea that we can work and maybe get to a certain level and equal with everyone else. But my friends, that's not the way it works with salvation. I cannot work my way myself to become equal with another in regards to salvation. It's not possible. I can't earn myself. I can't earn God's approval and favor so that then He will then give me these blessings and give me all these opportunities. It doesn't happen. All are saved equally and all are justified equally and all have same equal standing with their salvation with the Lord. So these are all promises. And these are not promises to just the pastors. These are not promises to just those who are like Peter and like the other apostles. No, these are promises that Peter himself understands, that though I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, I have no greater or no more pull or no more blessing than anyone else, no more grace or peace. We're equal. All of us can obtain these equally. This word obtained here does not mean something I've earned. The word obtained here literally means to determine by lot, or something that is not earned. I didn't earn this righteousness from God. I didn't earn this grace from God. I didn't earn this peace from God. Well, Lord, I did so much good this week. You got to be nice to me. That's not the way it works. God says that the only way that we can receive these is by knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. And then if we know Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, I get to receive and have the same opportunity to have the same peace as pastor or anyone else. It's available to all of us equally. And so I want us to see those things this evening. I've titled these two together. It's a giving and giving relationship. And this evening we're going to look at what Jesus Christ gave to us. And Lord willing, we'll be able to see what God expects us to give as well. So we'll have a part one and part two. So Miss Peterson will feel good about that. Kidding. So first of all, let's look what God offers to those who know Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior. Look what he offers to us in verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. There's two things that he offers here. He offers grace and peace. This word peace here means assured, confident, as something that is pinned together. John 14:7 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I it unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And this word grace means undeserved merit, the ability to do what we cannot do ourselves. And so God gives us anything that we need in our life. We can have grace and peace. We can live those things. And where do we find it from? We find it from the knowledge of God. Where do we find the knowledge of God? We find it from God's Word. I mean, haven't you ever gone to sleep with no worries at all? Haven't you ever gone to bed and just went to sleep? Haven't you ever had the peace of God? Haven't you ever been able to look over to your Bible sitting by your nightstand and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me the knowledge that I can have peace. It doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. It doesn't matter what happens in the future. We can just go to sleep and think about it. That's what the Bible says. This peace is, this world is looking for peace all over everywhere. We have a drug epidemic in our society today. It's destroying thousands and thousands of lives right now. They're looking for peace. They're looking for something to numb the pain. They're looking for something to give them a better picture, a better outlook. They're looking for, I don't need any of that. I have Jesus Christ. I don't need to seek for a platitude. I don't need to seek for a drug. I don't need to seek for more medication. I don't need to seek for any of those things. I don't need to seek for a better psychologist. I don't need to seek for any of those things. Because God says, as a child of God, all I need is to get into God's Word and read the promises of God and learn more about Him and learn all about what He has to offer to me. And He gives me peace. Gives me peace. I may look at my checkbook. Or I don't have a checkbook. I haven't written a physical check in probably 20 years. I don't do that anymore. Everything's digital for me. But I can look at the bank account. And the bank account can give me a not so good number. It's not my wife asked me several times. She'll tell you, I don't worry about the bills. That's Brother Oster's responsibility. He's the head of the home, so finances are the husband's responsibility. So she said, I don't worry about it. But what do you do? I said, I don't worry about it either. It's God's problem. It's all God's problem. It's His problem to pay the bills. If He wants me to have that, then He gives that to me, then He's going to have to take care of that. It's His problem. I love what Pastor said, be careful for nothing. Well, where can you get that from? Peace. And grace. We can think about all of those things. And God says, I want to give those things to you. But look what it says in verse number 2. Grace and peace be what? Somebody tell me really loud. Be multiplied. not added to, not occasionally given to, but multiplied, given over and over. This word multiply means numerous, often repeated. There's no limit or expiration to God's peace or grace. We don't have to worry about getting down to Friday and say, I just don't know. Monday, Tuesday, woo, got peace from God. Friday, what am I going to do? God says, if you had peace and grace and mercy on Monday, you have it on Friday. It's still available to you. It's never ending. It's multiplied. It grows and grows and grows through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This phrase here, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, is a personal phrase. You know, the closer you get to God, the more peace that you have. The more that you get to know God, the more that you get to see Him. I mean, think about our world today. There's all kinds of evidence of God, and God goes just beyond what we can find in the Word of God. Haven't you ever just sat in your backyard and just said, look at what God did? I mean, think about it. If God, the Bible already says it. If God says, if I could take care of the sparrows, can I not take care of you? If I know the very hairs on your head, and I made it simple for God. We know that He can focus on other things. But if I can focus on that, if I know the very hairs on your head, do you not think I know what you need? Do you not think I know what's going to come up tomorrow? Do you not know that I know all those things? And so it can continually grow and grow and grow. But it goes beyond that. Nature shows those kind of things. Frank Borman was commander of the first space crew to travel beyond the Earth's orbit. Looking down on the Earth from 250,000 miles away, Borman radioed back a message quoting Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As he later explained, I had an enormous feeling that there had to be a power greater than any of us, that there was a God, and that there was indeed a beginning. I was a lost man making that kind of statement. He's reaching for something. You can tell as he was there, you could tell by his statement that he was a lost man, but he could sense that something made this, something was in control of this, something had the power to make it spin, to keep it in place, to do everything. He understood something made that. It didn't evolve from something. But you know what's even greater when I read that? I know that guy. He's my Heavenly Father. I don't have to guess whether or not the earth was made by God. He told me it was. I read His Word. I have that peace and that grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, John gives a personal experience of him physically being with Jesus Christ. And you can hear him as he talks about touching Christ and being with Him and learning about Him. And though I have never physically been with Jesus Christ, when I spend time in God's Word and I get to know Him, it's almost as if I've been there with Him. And He's there with me. It's always good to have a friend that's two times bigger than you. Isn't it? Because then you can say, well, that's my friend. But you know what? I got even better than that. Well, that's my God. And He's bigger than everything. You know, by personal experience. Remember when you look back to Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 35, Cleopas, after Jesus Christ spent some time with him and then he left, Cleopas, he made that statement, did our hearts burn within us? They realized who was with them, and it was Jesus Christ, and it gave him peace and mercy, and it gave him so much grace. You see, God offers to us that know Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior, multiplied grace and peace. But then look what it does. It compounds itself, verse number 3. According to His divine nature, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and virtue. So He gives us grace and peace. It's multiplied, number one. Number two, He gives us all pertaining things. Isn't it great that when God calls you and expects you to live for Him and He makes you into a son of God, He gives you every tool that you need to be able to do it. My brothers have both served in the military, and one of the good things that the military does is they give you every tool that you need to win the fights. In fact, they feed them quite well. My brother, he said when he was in Iraq, he said, I was eating 10,000 calories a day. They were pumping food into him right and left. But he said, on the other hand, though, they expected me to be able to run a mile in a certain amount of time with a 7-pound pack on my back, providing everything that they needed. But everything was there for them. whatever they needed to accomplish the mission, that was there for them. They had everything that they needed. But you know, as a soldier of the Lord, God says, I'm going to give you everything. And it's by His divine power, everything necessary to live for God. I love what one person said. Positive thinking and motivational hope do not extend to eternity. But I don't need those things. I have God. I have the hope. The Bible says there that He gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. Godliness and life there, it's the opposite of perishing. It's the lack of decay. The Bible says that though this body will perish, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That gives you hope. I'm never going to die. This may die, but I'm never going to die. I'll just go from here to there. I can't die. You can hit me all you want. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And by the way, I can't die either. I thought that'd make some more people happier than that. You can't die. Some of us are looking in the mirror, wondering when this part's going to go. But we're going to be in heaven for eternity. And John says, here's Peter. And he says, when we realize that peace, God says, I give to you life. It's life eternal, John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they may know that the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And so He gives us that life, that godliness. And through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's a completely personal thing. And we can do those things. But God says, because of that, He asks us to call to glory. He asks us to live right. Look what it says in verse number 3 there. That through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. God says, okay, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you mercy. I'm going to multiply it. 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 I'm going to give you the knowledge of life, real life, true life, eternal life. We're not an empty shell just walking around the stores. We have everlasting life. He's given those things to us. He's given us everything that we need. And He's done it exceedingly. Verse number 4. And He's given us all of those things. He's given us divine power to be able to complete our life, to be able to live for God. And God says, all I expect from you is just a little bit of glory and a little bit of virtue. Virtue means moral excellence and goodness. And if this world needs more of anything, it needs some more morality, some more virtue. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That word peculiar there doesn't actually mean weird. It doesn't really. I know we like to use that word in that way, so in a sense, I do like to say this. My son is peculiar. Now, most of us, if I said Landon, he is really peculiar. We think, man, he's calling him weird. It's just a nice word to call him weird. But actually the word peculiar means to be unique to or belonging to. So you can look at my baby pictures. You can look at Landon's baby pictures. And they look the same. He's peculiar. He belongs to me. He's unique to me. He don't look like nobody else. He don't walk like nobody else. And in fact, Ashley called him the other day and she thought she was talking to Dad because his voice sounds just like me. He's peculiar to me. He's unique to me. He's mine, whether I want him anymore or not. He's peculiar. Here's what God's saying. I'm gonna multiply grace and mercy. I'm gonna make life, abundant life knowledge to you. I'm gonna make it exceedingly to you. I'm gonna do all of those things for you. What I want you to do is I want you to live in a peculiar way. You're unique to me. You belong to me. Let the world see those things. Let the world see that with some morality, with some virtue in life. And thirdly, verse number 4. Whereby, so because of all of those things, whereby, and verse number 3 does not end with a period, it ends with a colon. So Christ is continuing, God's continuing this thought. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Thirdly, First of all, he gave us grace and peace. Second of all, he gave us all pertaining things. Thirdly, he gave us exceedingly great and precious promises. Precious promises. Something you can hold on to. Something you can have. You can have something that has real meaning in your life. We have all kinds of things in our house that we consider to be precious, and that we consider to be priceless in our lives. But nothing more precious and priceless is our eternal walk with God and the promises that He gives to us. This is the great hope of the believer, the living hope. The Bible says here it's exceeding, which means to superabound, to be exceedingly abundant, to be greater than anything else. God offers us that divine nature to be made a son of God. John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I mean, we've gone more than just being given eternal life. We've been made into a son of God. We've been given any greater thing. We can think about all the families. It would be nice to be part of Sam Walton's family. Wouldn't that be nice? History said back when he was still alive, Sam Walton was still alive, he would carry almost $10,000 in cash in his overalls. He always wore overalls. He would have $10,000 or more. He carried that all the time because every time his grandkids came, he wanted to have fun money. That was always his fun money. He carried at least that much fun money with them all the time. I told my dad, I'm bringing my kids, and they want some fun money. It'd be nice. But even, I'm a son of God. I've been given a new nature. I've been given a new life. I've been given a new family. John says, I get a mansion. My house may be small here, but it's not up there. My house may be made of sheetrock here and stucco here, but not up there. My driveway may have some potholes and stains on it, but my driveway in heaven's going to be made of gold. Aren't you glad for that? It's innumerable. Have you ever honestly tried to take a pad and paper and write down all your blessings? I challenge you to try it. All your blessings. I promise you, go live in a third world country for 6 months. I love all these celebrities, man. If this person gets elected, I'm moving out. Go for it. I'm not kidding. You'll want to be back in just a little while. I promise you that. But more than all of those things, I have an eternal mansion. I think about it. I have a local church. I don't know how many times I've stopped by a hospital or visited someone that needed help or needed some prayer. And they said, I don't know what I'd do if I didn't know people were praying for me. I don't know what I'd do without my church family. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have people that were praying for me and caring for me. We have a spiritual family. We have everlasting life. All of those things. But think about it. We've been given a divine nature. We've escaped from corruption. Think about what the world lusts after what we have. Think about it. We have a heavenly Father that gives us His Word, that gives us everything that we need, that gives us all the information that we need right here. And the world is looking for the peace. They're looking for the happiness. They're looking for the joy that you possess, and they're trying everything they can to obtain it. But they can't. They can't. They're corrupted by false religion. The U.S. military doubled the number of recognized religions to 221. On that list are heathenry, humanism, paganism, Wicca, and more. So your little dog tag will stamp your religion. You can pretty much put anything you want on there now. All of those were created because mankind, since Genesis, have been seeking for their own peace, their own safety, their own security outside of Jesus Christ. But they'll never be able to attain it. There are an estimated 4,200 different religions in the world, and these can be categorized into several main religions and cults. All of these are corrupted by mankind's attempt to obtain what you have. What you have. Think about it. The world desires an afterlife. I have eternity. The world desires escape from death. I have everlasting life. The world desires acceptance from God. So what do they do? Create their own. And they've been corrupted by myth and legend. You know, the fountain of youth is a spring that supposedly restores the youth of anyone who drinks or bathes in its waters. That phrase has always made no sense to me. Who's going to drink in it after somebody's bathed in it? tales of such a fountain have been recorded and recounted across the world for thousands of years, appearing in writings by Herodotus, Alexander the Romance, and stories of Prester John. Stories of similar waters were also evidently prominent among the indigenous people of the Caribbean during the age of exploration. And these spoke of restorative powers of the water in the mythical lands of the Bimini. Think about it. Alexander the Great, Ponce de Leon, all these people wasted their life seeking for what we already have. Wasted their riches, wasted their wealth, wasted their families, everything that we have been given as a child of God. I want you to consider tonight, salvation of man is the greatest promise of all. Anytime anybody asks you, what's the best thing about life? You ought to answer them, eternal life. Because I have that. What's the thing you're most looking forward to? Moving into my mansion. Spending time with the Lord. Revelations chapter 21, 22. God says he's looking forward to walking with each one of us. What a blessing. The promise of salvation, thankfully, is open to all and excluded from none. The gift of salvation is denied to no one. These promises are given to and blessed with those who know Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior. But if you'd like to experience them, all you have to do is call upon Jesus Christ. Tonight, there may be one even here tonight. It's never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you've never called upon Jesus Christ and forgiveness of your sin, accepting him into your heart as your Lord and personal Savior, could I encourage you to come tonight? This altar and do so. If you too truly know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, could I ask when the last time you really truly spent some time at the altar worshiping God for all that he's done for you? This week I encourage you to get out a notepad and just start writing every single blessing. You'll run out of paper. You'll have to go to Sam's. And by the end of the week, you won't even be done with your list. When was the last time we as God's people fell before our Savior and said, thank you? Thank you. Aren't you glad you're alive today? I'm glad I'm alive today. Just the news the other day, someone was walking around the Capitol and got struck by lightning and gone like that. Aren't you glad? Last time you thanked God for all that he'd given to you. God says, I promise to you grace and peace multiplied. I want to give to you my divine power, all things that pertain to life and godliness. You'll lack nothing to live for me. And I'll give you those exceeding great and precious promises. I just want a little bit of faith, virtue, and living for him. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. So we have time to examine. Christian tonight, God has given you so much. God has given to you so much. God has given to you, honestly, what this world is doing everything they can to achieve on their own. I freely give it to you. If you're here tonight, you've never called upon Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior. God says, I offer to you life, everlasting life. I offer you a home in heaven. I offer you peace. I offer you grace. I offer it to you. Child of God, have you considered this past week? Spent time with the Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for giving me the peace that I can go to bed and pillow my head and trust in you. Thank you for that. How about you tonight? As our music begins to play,